Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan. Can God learn? If we took all those anthropomorphic passages throughout the Old Testament in a literalist sort of way, like God being sorry that he had made mankind in Genesis 6, or when he changes his mind about the harm he was going to do to his people in Exodus 32, then it might not seem too much of a stretch to think that God could learn something, say, about what we humans are like. Why he would have been sorry for making us, if not that we must have surprised him by how bad we became so quickly? Or why else would he change his mind about punishing Israel, if not for the fact that he was convinced by Moses, that is, he learned something from him, that the people deserved another chance? But in the Orthodox Church, those aren't our governing interpretive passages. Our primary interpretive passage is the Lord on Mount Sinai, whom Moses meets only in a cloud of thick darkness. In fact, no man, the Lord says, can see me and live. That's why the Lord mysteriously reveals only his back. In other words, not his face-to-face reality, but only some mediated form, something we can conceptually and spiritually apprehend in our lowliness. God is unknowable in his essence, but he makes himself known in ways we can understand and relate to through his energies, the way he works in this world. So God, who simply exists in and of himself, who is existence as such, as he says of himself in the burning bush, "I am that I am." The God whose reality is but darkness to us because we lack the apprehending faculties to see him. This is our interpretive matrix for all the other passages about God learning, changing his mind, and being regretful, etc. Those are useful, even fruitful ways of relating to God and thinking about how he relates to us. But in the most intimate encounters with God, we come to know that this is simply not so. God is ultimately impossible to describe in his utter otherness. This morning I want to look at another example of an instance of God appearing to learn something when he became a man. Firstly, what exactly was the point of God becoming a man? The standard answer is that he became a man to save us from our sins. St. Athanasius, summarizing Orthodox belief up until his time, fleshed that answer out a little bit in his book On the Incarnation. He explained that in order for every part of us to be saved from the mess that we had gotten ourselves into, including our bodies, our minds, our souls, God had to take into himself every one of those bits. God had to become something he wasn't already in his nature, i.e. one of us. In so many words, he had to learn. This brings us to our passage today in the Gospel, when Jesus is encountering a blind man begging by the side of the road and begging him to save him. Begging him specifically to save him of his blindness. That's what he asks. What do you want me to do for you? I want to receive my sight. Well, God could always heal blindness. But now, in Christ, he can relate to blindness. For a time, God, the incarnate Word, was blind as he was being formed in the womb of his mother. As he grew up and in his common experience, he knew what the dead of night without a moon felt like, maybe outside of any major city with lamps burning or anything. It's dark, you can't see. God knows, he has learned what it means to not be able to see. He knows what blindness is all about. The Old Testament, we get a hint of how this is going to work when the prophet says that by his stripes we are healed. In other words, by his infirmities, ours are transformed. God takes our infirmities onto himself and bears them. So this is a different kind of thing than God just healing someone of blindness in the Old Testament. This is God knowing what blindness is about and saying, I have had that experience and I can meet you there. And of course, the context of this story, as we heard at the very beginning, is Jesus on the road to Jerusalem to suffer and die. What does he say? He took the disciples aside and he said to them, Behold, we're about to go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, me, he's called himself this before, shall be accomplished. He, the Son of Man, me, shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, i.e. the Romans in this situation, and shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spat on. They shall scourge him and put him to death. This is what Jesus is going to do. The disciples, Luke says, sometimes in the Gospels, Jesus will say something and there'll be a little side note. The disciples didn't really get what he was saying. But this time, being that it's so explicit, Luke really has to reinforce the fact that this was hidden from the disciples. He says, not only did they not understand him, but this saying was hid from them. In other words, you know, generally these are fairly smart guys, but even they didn't get this most explicit of Jesus' sayings, I guess because it was hid from them. So, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem in order to suffer and to die. What is suffering and death in our everyday experience? It's the result of our ancestral rebellion and then our personal rebellion against God. We are born into a world that has been suffering the effects of sin for a very long time. But when we're born into this world and we suffer those effects, it's not long before all of us begin to participate in those effects. We also contribute our own sinful problems to the world. We contribute to the effects that the world suffers because of sin through our own sin. Raise your hand if you are without sin today. So we have a problem, don't we? We suffer and die because of the fact that we're born into a world where death is already reigning, and then because we participate in that perpetuation of sin and death. So what do we do in order to fix that? Well, there's a process of returning to God that we describe as repentance. Repentance, metanoia in the Greek, is just the description of turning around, turning away from our sin, turning away from our self-conceit, our self-will, and going back toward God. Well, that direction, that road, requires of us our own death and our own suffering. It's not a pretty road. It's difficult. And the more we need to do it, the harder it is to do. This is a problem. And this is the context of Jesus in this passage today on the way to Jerusalem. And it's the reason this passage is before us today in our gospel on this, the last Sunday before Lent. We are about to join Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. This is the road we need to walk. But, as we've observed, the problem is that none of us are perfect. And the worse we are, the harder it is to repent, and yet the more we need it. The only man who could repent perfectly, in fact, wouldn't need it. And that is who we encounter in the gospel. A perfect man not needing to walk this road, but doing it anyway. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, puts the situation this way. We now need God's help to do something that God, in his own nature, never does at all. To surrender, to suffer, to submit, to die. Nothing in God's nature corresponds to this process at all. So that the one road on which we need God's leadership most is the road that God, in his own nature, has never walked. God can only share what he has, and this thing, in his own nature, he has not. But if God becomes a man, then he could surrender his will and suffer and die because he was a man, just like us. And he could do it perfectly because he was God. You and I can go through this process only if God does it in us. But God can do it only if he becomes a man. So to take that in reverse, God became a man and he walked this road of suffering, death, a repentance of sorts. A repentance he didn't need, but we did. And because God did it, here in this passage we see God begins this road, and we know that at the end of Lent, at the conclusion of Holy Week, God completes the road. And here's the key to all of this. We can't walk this road by ourselves. None of us would ever make it to the end. But because God, as one of us, did it, he made it all the way to the end. Now we can do it only in and through him. We can participate in his action as he participates in our nature. So, did God learn something in all of this? Can God learn? Well, we know that in time, 2,000 years ago, in this cosmos of space and time, God became a man. But in God's reality, since the beginning of eternity, God has been incarnate for us. He has always known, in a sense, what he learned in the incarnation. The knowledge that God gained by becoming a man, God has always possessed in himself. That's why, from the moment of creation, he knew not only what we would do, he knew that we would sin, but he also knew that he would redeem us by becoming one of us. This is the road that we're about to begin. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. We will receive the imposition of ashes. And at the beginning of this Lent, with that service, let's intentionally imagine ourselves walking the path of suffering with Jesus into Jerusalem, up the hill with the cross, so that our suffering gains meaning and effectiveness through Christ's suffering. And our death gains meaning and effectiveness through Christ's death. We're all called to die with Christ this Lent, but the promise that we have and can be sure of is that if we die with Christ, we will also live with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.